Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
When you and I look at leadership, you and I look at what God demands of us as Christians. As God looks at us through His Word and encourages us, then you and I simply must recognize that the concept of leadership is filled to us through the Word of God. Go back to the Old Testament. I think as you and I look at the leadership of Noah, the Bible says that he preached for 120 years. God chose a man by the name of Noah. You and I look in the Old Testament, and we do not have time to examine the life of Moses, but we see Moses as a great leader in the Old Testament. We see Joshua, who eventually replaced Moses and led the children of Israel across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. You and I find that during the period called the Conquest of Canaan, as Joshua led these men, and then after the death of Joshua, that God chose to lead His people by those folks that we refer to as judges, folks such as Deborah or Gideon or Samson. There's one word that I'd like you to underline in your mind regarding leadership. As I study the life of Moses, as I look at the life of Joshua, as I look at the life of Noah, as I look at the life of a man like Gideon and the great accomplishment that he had in leading God's people, there's one word that I believe you and I need to understand when it comes to the concept of leadership. You know, you and I think about leadership, and I've looked in congregations, and I've seen in congregations men of great ability, men who were able to accomplish great things. I've been in congregations where there were men in those congregations who had been able to acquire a great deal of wealth, a great deal of money. I have seen men in those congregations who had the ability to perhaps lead a business to such an extent that it was successful and profitable to those for whom they worked. I've seen individuals in congregations, and they had the ability to do so many things. And yet when you approach these men and ask them if they will serve in a certain capacity, many times these men decline to do so for various reasons. Now, I'm not simply saying that they were wrong in declining. I'm just saying that they were men of great ability, and yet these men with that great ability, and if you go through the Bible, you'll find the same scenario, that there are men of great ability, and yet these men never served in a capacity of leadership. We may ask a question, why is that? Why is it that an individual may be an individual of great ability and yet not serve in a capacity of leadership? Let me help you and I to understand that when we read the Bible, go to the New Testament for a second, and we see men like Peter and Andrew and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and so forth. You look at these men who were chosen to be the 12 apostles. To my knowledge, not a single one of these individuals happened to be in a high qualifying governmental position. To my knowledge, these men did not have or did not possess great wealth. And yet our Lord Jesus Christ took these 12 men. And the Bible tells us that these men go into all the world. I want to take just a put a parenthesis in here for a second. The story is told that after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when He ascended to heaven, that an angel approached our Lord and asked Him, tell us about your days upon this earth. And our Lord went through His 3 years of service. Mark says that Jesus said, I came to minister, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus told the angel, here's what I did, here's the work, and here's what took place, and how I was crucified, and now He has ascended back into heaven. The angel asked the question, Well, what have you done? What did you do? How did you leave the earth? And Jesus, as the story goes, said, I selected 12 men. And these 12 men are to carry out my plan upon this earth. And the angel said, I want to ask a question. What if these 12 men do not accomplish that task? Jesus said, as this story goes, I have no other plan. Ladies and gentlemen, our Lord Jesus Christ left in the hands of 12 men and later the Apostle Paul the great task that He gave to them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And some 30 years after this occurred, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 23, Paul said, the gospel has been preached to every creature. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll go back with me for just a minute, you'll note that I said at the very beginning that there was that word ability. That an individual may have ability. But now I want to tell you, the word that is emphasized as far as the selection of leadership is concerned, it is not the word ability. If you look at the qualification of elders and deacons in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, there is not a single mention in there of those men being successful in their business life. But here's the word I want you to underline in your heart and in your mind and in this message today. It is not the word ability, ladies and gentlemen. But it is the word availability. That it is the availability. You know, it's kind of interesting that as you and I look out in our world and our society today and we see the great needs that our world has in the message of the gospel, when I look out and I see that there are men, I know of men of great ability who at one time maybe were preachers of the gospel, but have since decided that that was not the area that they want to devote themselves to. And other men have come in, and the other men that have come in, because of their availability, the gospel is being preached. As you and I look at the concept of leadership, I want you to think with me today. A leadership charge that was given to a young man by the name of Timothy. The Apostle Paul took this young man and called him his son in the gospel. Very quickly this morning, I want to give you five things about this charge that the Apostle Paul gives to this young man. Number one, and that is, he said, you wage a good warfare. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at leadership, leadership is not something that happens as a result of, I'm looking out to the future, but it is because men, it is because women, it is because individuals have waged a good warfare. Over the holidays, I had an opportunity. I take advantage of every opportunity I have to teach my grandchildren. And one of the things that I have tried to impress upon our grandchildren many, many times, and I keep trying to impress upon them this one point. It is a point made by Fred Gruen. Some of you may remember, maybe if you'll go back and look, you have heard of the Gruen Watch Company. I don't even know that Gruen watches are made anymore. Probably not. But Fred Gruen started the Gruen Watch Company. And many years ago, he made this statement. Fred Gruen said, all good is paid for in advance, while the evil that men do is generally paid for on the installment plan. All good is paid for in advance. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this congregation has six deacons. You and I look at these men, or we look at any individual when that leadership capacity, and what does it say to us? It says that these individuals have paid in advance. Their lives have been looked at. Their lives have been examined. And as a result of those lives, these individuals may be in a particular position. I want to say to the boys and girls in this assembly today, you may have the idea, I want everything up front. I want everything in life that God has given or that God will give to me. I want it now, kind of like the prodigal son. He said to his father, give me those things that belong to me, and he wasted them in riotous living. Young men and young women, if there's something you're wanting in the future, you must pay for it in advance. You see, individuals have been quite successful. Maybe it's in some area of education or some area of business, and maybe they have a BS or a BA or an MBA or whatever it may be, and you see them and you see they're very successful. Is it because they paid for it, ladies and gentlemen, in advance? The Bible says, Paul said, Timothy, you wage a good warfare. Not only there, but he said, conduct yourself properly. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church of God, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. If I'm going to have an influence in my community, if I'm going to have an influence over other individuals, if I'm going to let my light shine, if I'm going to be the salt of the earth, my friend, listen, it will be because of the kind of life that you and I live in our community, before our friends and before our family. And Paul said, Timothy, conduct yourself properly. Number three, do not neglect your gift. 1 Timothy 4:14. Paul said, Timothy, do not neglect the gift that God has given to you. This isn't new to this congregation. What I'm about to say to you is not something you have never heard before. But every man, woman, boy, and girl in this assembly today, God has given every one of us an ability. It's what we do with that ability. Paul said, do you perhaps think that maybe Timothy had some doubts and discouragement? He was a young preacher. I'm a young preacher. Well, I was a young preacher. I was a young preacher a long, long time ago. I know being a young preacher, there's several things that young preachers know. Number one, everything. I knew it all. I knew how everything ought to be done. I knew how to do it. And not only that, but I knew how to tell you how to do it. And I'm thinking sometime about this young preacher, Timothy, that maybe he has gone to the church at Ephesus, and some of the folks there say, man, look, we're not going to pay any attention to you. You're a little young, skinny, and you wonder sometime, he can't have much to say. He's not very big. He's not very old. I'm thinking of this young man, Timothy, and Paul said, Timothy, do not despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And so he says to this young man, do not neglect the gift that God has given to you. My friend, listen. Take what God has given to us, and let's build upon it. He said, observe it without partiality. Notice that last phrase. Without preferring one before another. So many congregations have decreased. They've had turmoil because of cliques. But Jesus set over against the treasury. And he saw this woman, and she put in all that she had that was just as valuable. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Not one man, woman, boy, or girl is more valuable than another. The Bible says there are many members, yet one body. And it does not matter what you choose to do in the work of the Lord with the ability that God has given you, whatever that ability may be. It doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen. That ability can be used and used without partiality in the work of the Lord. Number five, Paul said, you guard what's been committed to you. You guard it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Paul said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. This book has been committed to the trust of the eldership. It's been committed to the deacons. It has been committed to the Bible school teachers. My friend, listen. The Word of God is the most important book that you and I will use in the work of the Lord. And we are committed to one thing, and that is the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. Paul said the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is by this Word, ladies and gentlemen, that's been committed to us. It does not matter what kind of a sign you and I may see at Arbor Place Mall. It does not matter what kind of an entertainment some denominational church may put forth to draw its individuals. It does not make any difference what some brethren may do in order to draw others to their fold. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God has been committed to us. And it will be that Word that determines our life. And the work of this church. Paul gave Timothy the charge. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have been given a charge. A charge by God. A charge by the inspired writers of the New Testament. David said it like this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It is that Word planted within our hearts that motivates, that drives, that determines, that pushes, that leads the work that we must do. A charge to leadership. This lesson is not to the elders, while it applies to us. This lesson is not just to the deacons, while it applies to them. But every person in this assembly has a realm of leadership. There is the man may even be dead now. A fellow by the name of Joe Girard. When we lived in Michigan, Joe Girard was the top automobile salesman in the United States of America. Not only in Michigan, but in the United States. And there was a book written about Joe Girard. And in that book, Joe Girard related to the author. He was trying, of course, to sell more automobiles. And he went to a local funeral director and he asked him, he said, when you have a body, when there's a death in a family and you have a body, how many individuals are affected by one body? The funeral director said a minimum of 250 people. He said if one of the individuals related to the deceased, if one of those individuals related to the deceased is, quote, turned off when they come into our funeral home, that affects 250 people. You'll be amazed at the domino effect that our life can have. My friend, your obedience to the gospel of Christ may have an effect on 250 people in time to come. Think about that. Your influence, my influence. And with that conclusion, you and I all are leaders.